are voting on opting out. What am I talking about? We're talking about health care or health insurance reform is probably the more accurate way to describe the 2,000 pages of legislation that became laws, you know, a couple of months ago. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. We do start there because I think this is pretty big news. More people unhappy with Obamacare, and after taking a truly big fat beating in Missouri, voters in August decided Obamacare would once again be roughed up at the ballot box in November. So check it out, following the lead of the Missouri Initiative, which passed, remember, with 71% of the vote. We talked to many of you in Missouri. Arizonans, Coloradans, and Oklahomans are going to decide whether to approve the proposed constitutional amendments that would actually allow them to opt out of some of the key provisions of the national health care law. We know what this is all about. The three initiatives forbid the government from forcing people to buy health care insurance. It's a mandate that many of us think violates the Constitution and would allow patients and employers to pay providers directly without any kind of a penalty. So the idea pretty much with all of this is to protect states from the ongoing takeover of health care by the federal government. At least in Colorado, that's exactly what they're talking about. Now, others say this is just an exercise in futility because federal law trumps state law. So even if they get a measure out there, it could be overturned even if they win 100% of the vote. So it makes some noise. People talk about it. But ultimately, if you do look at our laws, that is true. Federal law easily can challenge it, and then it can be reversed. But I say bravo to the states that want to make the statement. Why not pursue it? And if enough of people are upset by it and things change, then maybe the tide would turn on that little number that penalizes people for not having insurance. Do you ever have this problem with your computer where you can't boot it up? You know, when you think computers or technology is flawless, and then suddenly you realize with one click of the mouse in the wrong direction, or all of a sudden, the whirling of the fan inside your computer goes dead and you've lost everything. Even with the backup systems, now you have a problem. Well, I guess they've got some new computers. I was reading about this through an English paper that earlier in the day. They've got new computers that they say are going to boot up in seconds. Man, that whole startup time, then that would be it. So how fast? I mean, seconds, literally seconds. So the next generation of the home computer folks will be able to boot it up quicker than you could actually dial somebody to help you. And it's called BIOS technology. And they've been used to booting up computers pretty fast since 1979, but they never designed anything to last as long as it has to be. And they feel like they have the product now, this system that's been built to meet the modern computing needs, and it'll be the big technology in many of the new computers. So you go from off to on literally in seconds. You know, I could time one of my computers. I swear it takes probably almost a minute. It's crazy before you actually see the first bit of signs that there's life there still. So I thought we would reveal that to you because I thought it was one of the best things I read all day long, that you can just boot it. And Google's got something coming up, too. It's called Chrome OS, and that supposedly, and this is just a rumor, so who knows, has a boot time of just a few seconds, too. See, that's the stuff that people are working on, the race to become first there, because since everything that we deal with is on computers now, even if you're just going down to City Hall to get something, you know that the whole system is dependent on pulling things up. Have you ever been on a phone line where something happens to the system and you're waiting to get something and they say, oh, I can't check that for you now. I'm thinking credit card company because our computers went down, and then they have to reboot it. And even individually they reboot it, but it takes, by the time they get it up and going, it takes a couple of minutes, so now you've wasted XYZ amount of time. There was nothing sadder, I think, in this past week than the kid who jumped off of the George Washington Bridge. And why? Because he was videotaped secretly when he was with another guy in his dorm room, and that got on the internet and all over the Rutgers campus, and people were like voyeurs watching to see what happened. And this kid was a quiet, well-liked guy, just 18 years old, who was a very promising violinist. So he felt like he couldn't live anymore, and he decided to throw himself off the bridge. Rutgers was stunned when this happened. It's now starting to bring up all these possible lawsuits and criminal charges as a result of what was done to him, and I think it's kind of a warning shot for other college campuses and other kids who are using the computer to out somebody or bully them or, you know, whatever. But how far you can actually go with a criminal case, this will be one of the big tests, I think, as to what happened at Rutgers, proving that, okay, what they did definitely led to his death. And there's charges. But we'll see what happens in the pretrial and all that other stuff and how far it actually goes, because there's still a lot that has to be determined in that case. So anyway, there was a vigil the other night for the boy who jumped off the bridge, and here's what some of the people had to say.
I keep thinking that that was only one situation. There's so many other kids out there.
I thought it was very important that we have the chance to actually cry, heal, be present.
Yeah, and it probably is good for the other kids that were there. And like I said, if nothing else, it's just a huge warning to others who might think that they're having a little fun, but at somebody else's expense. And how far are you willing to go before something happens, deadly happens, and in this case, he took his own life. A big shocker that we're going to talk about with Rahm Emanuel. Apparently, he's in Chicago. Okay, we already knew that. He's done with Washington, but would you be surprised to learn that Rahm Emanuel's not a legal resident of the city? How about that? He's trying to get his signatures, trying to take over as the king of the Windy City, because Richard Daley has had that seat for like six terms. He announced in a video posted on a website that he's going to run for mayor, but two of the top election lawyers say the state's municipal code is very clear that a candidate for mayor has to reside in the town for a year before the election. So they can't just own a home in the city that they rent out to somebody else. They have to have a place they can walk into, have their personal things there, hang up their jacket, and occasionally sleep there. So there's a good chance that Rahm Emanuel could be thrown off the ballot on a residency challenge. Woohoo! Surprisingly, he was, you know, pretty upset and released a few expletives from what I understand when he heard about that. But what will happen to the former White House chief of staff? Will he actually be able to run for mayor? And so it goes.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications with low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions. RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. So we've had a couple of guests talking about bed bugs. In fact, we started off the week, we were talking about the what to recognize, how to recognize them, and, you know, what ultimately what you have to do if you think you have them. I can't think of anything worse is to be staying at a hotel somewhere and then travel home and have a bunch of bed bugs in your suitcases that you all of a sudden infest your house because it would cost thousands of dollars to get rid of them. But the federal building that houses the U.S. Agency for International Development in Washington is kind of one of those heavily secured places, but the bed bugs are there. So they told the employees that the juvenile, that's what they're calling them, juvenile bed bugs were found in a single office at the tower in the Ronald Reagan building and the International Trade Center, and that there weren't really any signs of the bugs anywhere else in the building. They said that a pest control service would inspect the offices and that any infected areas would be treated over the weekend. They also said that the General Services Administration would continue to be proactive and prevent any future bed bug activity. Oh, that would make me feel comfortable if I was an employee there. We're going to do everything we can to be proactive and prevent any bed bug activity, even though we really can't do that because they don't transmit diseases, but their bites cause allergic reactions in some people. Plus, trying to snuff them out is incredibly tough. So good luck with that. Just kind of a little follow-up on the bed bugs. They have not gone anywhere. All right, and these are the under-the-bus words of the day. Remember a candidate who had the first woman VP on the ticket? Remember former Vice President Walter Mondale, who then ran for president with Geraldine Ferraro on his ticket? The former VP said on one of the networks, he might have been on CNN, that President Obama relies too much on teleprompters, which Mondale called idiot boards when talking to the American people. This is what happens when you get older. Even if when you're a politician, you start saying whatever you feel like saying. And good for him. He said he has to connect with the American people because he was asked, I think it was Wolf Blitzer, so I must have been flipping around. He was asked why Obama hasn't shown more empathy, and Mondale said he's seen places where he did it, but they're backyard kind of events. And when he's there with the teleprompter, he has a much harder time doing it. Because, and he's right, you're looking at the teleprompter, you're not paying attention to it. Well, we know the whole thing with the teleprompter. If the teleprompter's off, remember the Irish prime minister who started reading the teleprompter in the middle of a press conference, and he was reading the words that were on Obama's teleprompter. I mean, that just goes to show you, then you don't even know who you're identifying. You're just reading the words. That's a big problem. All right, this shouldn't be a surprise, but the Gallup poll that came out, and I was reading it somewhere. They've got, it might have been on Drudge that I saw the link to it, but these new Gallup findings for the Democrats I think are pretty obvious. And they say that black people still love Obama, but others not so much. So the good news is that among black folks, he's holding steady at 91%, but there is no other group of potential voters that likes Barack Obama very much. Could it be that the administration is ineffective? In fact, 29 days before the first midterm elections, the Democrats' approval ratings were below 50%. So this Gallup poll found that his approval rating for September was 45%, almost the same as August, which was 44%. But not the crucial 50% level in a single month so far this year. Since Obama's name is not on any ballot, as we know, with the midterms, the proportions of Americans who like or dislike him shouldn't matter, I guess, except for that one key thing, riding the president's coattails, which in effect is often what happens. The Democrats, we know this, have the majorities in both the Senate and the House, and in the House, and they've got more seats to lose. So a switch of 39 House and 10 Senate seats would give control of both houses to the Republicans for the first time since they lost the control back in 2007. Democrats, 79%, liberals, 75% still like Obama. But after that, his approval percentages really go down big time. Support even with young people is down to 57%. Hispanics, 55. Moderates, 54. I mean, you get the drift, gist of this. Unmarrieds, 53. Easterners, 52. And so on and so forth. In the South, really plunging low. Southerners, overall, 41%. Independents, 40%. And, of course, that's not a surprise, but conservatives, 23%. But, as I said, this is midterm elections, and the president or the people around the president are constantly analyzing those statistics. And I think that's why the rumor started, and I'm sure it'll happen, that David Axelrod, won't, in the last year of the administration, will go to start preparing for 2012 to try to figure out what to do to get the president reelected. And if he does do that and leaves, then you know for sure that's what's happening, that he's definitely going to run, because there's been this rumor that maybe he might be a one-term guy and not even run a second time. But I find that hard to believe. I think he will run, and I think it'll be a question of where are we in this country when it comes to the economy. I mean, where are we? Are we talking about chaos? Are we talking about loss of more jobs? That'll be a very big factor the next time around when we go to vote for president. All right, this is a crazy, crazy story about the 911 callers. I just don't get it. It's just not funny, and it's so easy to trace. And I don't get how people get their jollies on the on calling 911 for just completely ridiculous things. But apparently, in Miami, it's a big problem. In Broward County, they call 911 for all kinds of things, I mean, including real emergencies. But what's emergency and what's ridiculous? They call 911. Remember the story about the hamburger, that they didn't get the right kind of hamburger? Or, excuse me, somebody ordering chicken nuggets and saying that they don't have chicken nuggets, so they called to report that. All kinds of crazy fast food offenses especially seem to be the most common in Miami. You know, what do people not understand about that? Do you think they're going to call some line and they're going to have satisfaction as to their fast food complaint? There was even a woman who called 911 to ask what day it was. So what's sad is you think of the timing that's so crucial when somebody gets a 911 call. And sometimes it's down to minutes. And that means you got to have an ambulance or somebody get to the scene, the cops, whatever, as soon as possible. So if you have all these foolish, prank, ridiculous, or just stupid people that call with crazy things, how much are you blocking out the other real emergencies? And I'll tell you what, I think absolutely they should just let them spend a night in jail and see what they think. Find the person, trace the call, and then just let them spend the night in the tank. And I guess that could perhaps suspend some of the ridiculous nonsense when it comes to dialing 911 to ask what day it is or why they didn't get the right fast food or, geez, do you know the number for a good plumber because something's happened in my house. We have a little bit of a mini flood. I mean, you know, come on. Give me a break. People, use your brains. All right, as I always say, please, if you have any thoughts on the show, send them to me, americatonight.net. Don't forget, coming up on Thursday, we have another edition of Nail the Score as we head into week 5 of the NFL. It's in our third hour, and you get to guess the score of the team that is randomly chosen by our computer. You correctly nail it, you have bragging rights, and you win all the prizes right here on America Tonight.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio.
You guys are awesome.
I love this station. I really do.
GCN.
Just what emergencies do I need to be prepared for?
Terrorism, economic collapse, or the overdue big quake. The immediate time frame after any disaster when you may be on your own is critical. That's why you need a 72-hour kit from SurvivalSolutions.com. Our 72-hour kits have been researched, tried, and tested for 3-day survival. 72-hour emergency kits from SurvivalSolutions.com provide 114 essential items, including food, water, light, shelter and warmth, cooking, first aid, sanitation, and communication. Just add your personal items, clothing, and important papers, and you're ready for any emergency. That's 114 essential life-sustaining items. Order now and get a free Millennium Food Bar with each 72-hour kit purchase. Call 801-965-0777 or go to SurvivalSolutions.com. That's 801-965-0777 or SurvivalSolutions.com, home of the complete 72-hour emergency kit.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection action so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Before you purchase any water filters, you should know there's a superior American-made water filtration system available. This water filter's housing is made of high-quality stainless steel, and its filters outperform all others in the industry and are the only ones that exceed EPA standards. It's a gravity-fed water filtration system requiring no electricity or plumbing. It removes chlorine, chemicals, and dangerous biological pathogens, producing quality drinking water for less than 2 cents per gallon. Plus, its filters can be cleaned up to 200 times. What is it? It's the AquaRain. Owning an AquaRain means you own the best money can buy. Learn more and see other quality emergency preparedness products at myaquarain.com. Use the GCN code and you'll receive the book, Do-It-Yourself Emergency Preparedness, absolutely free. To order, visit myaquarain.com or call 800-585-5077. That's myaquarain.com or 800-585-5077.
Listening to me ever part of a debate club? Were you one of those kids that was great at spinning circles word wise around everyone and their brother who you went to school with? You know, the debate clubs weren't huge when I was in high school, but in college, different thing. They were much, much bigger. And debate is very big now in this country at all kinds of colleges. There are serious debate clubs where kids go on, and even high school kids end up getting great scholarships for their debating skills. And now the style of debating's different, though. It's not so much about, okay, here's the topic, and this is my side, this is your side, and here are all the things that I'm going to throw out to support what it is that I'm trying to fight for. Now it's crazy. It's about speed. They talk so fast, it sounds like gibberish to me. I have no idea what they're saying. I, like, understand every fifth word. And so it's a different style of debating for the most part. But the debates still politically are about the big, bad, burning issues. We talked a little bit about what's happening as we get closer to the midterm elections, like Meg Whitman and Jerry Brown did their big thing in California, and Jack Conway and Rand Paul, who's, I think, at a cleanup in Kentucky for the Republicans, they had their Fox debate over the weekend. And also in Connecticut, I know a lot of people are listening to us in Connecticut, and I heard it was fascinating, Blumenthal and Lady McMahon trading some serious jabs at each other in the Connecticut debate. A lot of people were anxious to see what was going to happen here, and, you know, this was a face-to-face deal on Monday night where you had the newcomer, the Republican, Linda McMahon, saying her position on the minimum wage has been misconstrued. So she wanted to clear up some stuff. The Democrat, Richard Blumenthal, one of the things that he threw out there is that his military record and the criticism of it is absolutely nothing new, that he's tired of fending that off, that he's heard it all before. And at one point, McMahon said what happened was, you know, they were going back and forth and trading things about the about minimum wage, and he accused her of not understanding what it takes to create real jobs and misrepresenting her stance on what the wage rate levels are, what they would be. And McMahon said his latest ad makes it sound like she supported cutting the current level. And it was a question she was asked about a ton by reporters, because that's what happens. Now the controversial ads spur off into sidebar topics. So she said, when they were talking about this ad, she said, "It's a lie. You know it's a lie. I never said it." And she called, you know, on him to pull the ad. So following the debate, it's always the behind-the-scenes stuff that can be really interesting. Blumenthal said, look, she's not dealing in facts. She's fast and loose with the facts, as a matter of fact. And she didn't voice support for current minimum wage rates during her exchange. That's not what she wants. And then he brought up her company and accused the WWE, which is World Wrestling Entertainment, of accepting $10 million in state tax credits while laying off 10% of its workforce. And so that's another example of this billionaire woman putting profits above people. And that's, he's trying to hit her there on the whole, here's what she does with her company, but here's what really happens. Because there's no question to me what's really emerged as the main political topic in the smorgasbord of what is being discussed across the nation is jobs. Jobs and money. Jobs and money. And then everything else goes after that. Immigration, all that other stuff can be out there, can be on the plate, but it's the jobs and money. And when you talk about money, it can be anything from Social Security to taxes, all that stuff. That's what people care about. And I think this is all still part of that blowback from the banks that were too big to fail. So the perception is, and rightly so, in so many cases, because you see people walking away from mortgages and other people saying, wow, they're killing the neighborhood or they're tanking us because, you know, every third neighbor in some of these areas that have been hit hard, they're just leaving. They're not paying their mortgage because it doesn't pay to pay their mortgage. They'll never catch up to it for the home value. So they get portrayed as having, in some cases, like the scarlet letter of the neighborhood, because that would be brutal. If your neighborhood, you had three or four people just walk away from the houses, what's that doing to the value in an already tough situation? But yet, it goes back to the same, I think, thing that, okay, if the bankers who had all this money got bailed out, and nobody bails us out, really, then screw it. Why are we doing this? Why should I be expected to feel guilty and throw money after bad money when they didn't even have to do that? And that's the underlying current as it relates to money across the nation. That's part of what you're hearing and seeing from people who are coming out and listening to the debates or talking to whoever it is who's running for a House seat or one of the Senate seats. That's where the focus is. For Christine O'Donnell in Delaware, and I said this at the top, she's got a new ad out talking about the whole dabbling witch thing, because that became big headlines. Right now, she is trailing in the polls by like 15 points, which isn't good when you look at how close the election is, because it's less than a month away. So her ads start to roll. There is some money, a little bit of money behind her, and they're trying to get the word out as to what it is that she's about. The Democrat Chris Coons has a lot of backing in a state that is highly Democratic or more moderate Republicans or independents you would find a lot of. That's why Mike Castle, who she beat in the Republican primaries, had such an easy time of it, I think, had such a long political run there because he fell into the moderate category. She absolutely does not, but she does fall into the who is she, the everyday person, I think, and the Tea Party. So here's, I want you to listen to her ad. This is an ad that rolled on Monday.
I'm not a witch. I'm nothing you've heard. I'm you. None of us are perfect, but none of us can be happy with what we see all around us. politicians who think spending, trading favors, and backroom deals are the ways to stay in office. I'll go to Washington and do what you'd do. I'm Christine O'Donnell, and I approve this message. I'm you.
All right, effective, not effective, or you're not sure. You could weigh in on this. 800-259-5791. I think the idea of the message was a good one about I'm you. Hey, I'm you. Don't expect me to, you know, they want to criticize me about not knowing about this political thing or not having all these cronies around me to rally around me. That's a perfect thing to play up. So that was smart strategy. I'm just like you. I'm the everyday person here in Delaware. What do you want from me? But I think the, I'm not a witch thing. They could have left that out. I'd ditch that because who cares at this point? And also the music. The music sounds strange in that spot. It's a weird little thing that I would tweak, but I would tweak it because it doesn't do her any favors as you hear do, do, do. And I'm sure that the Democratic candidate that I just mentioned, Coons, I'm sure his people will pick up on that and they may play that up to the hilt. So, every day something new comes out, and she knows that. And so she was smart to say, I'm you. What do you expect from me? I just speak the way I speak. If I were her or the campaign people, because it's really not her, it's the few people around her advising, I would have just sat her down in a very plain way then. And I would have just had her at a supermarket or wherever and said, hey, listen, I'm like you. I'm on these aisles every day, and I'm just trying to do my best, and, you know, I might not sound polished and blah, 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 blah. And I would have kind of played, I think, down that road. Not that it's going to hurt her, but right now she's trailing 15 points behind. So everything keeps getting thrown up in her face as to things that she said. Like in 2006 in a debate, she talked about China plotting to take over America, and she claimed to have some classified information about China that she couldn't divulge. So this is going to happen to her a lot. A lot of things will, from her past, because she was on a lot of shows and was blogging or whatever, was out there doing things, it's out there. It's already left the gate. And whether it's explained fully or not, that's some of the stuff that comes out, and that's some of the stuff that she's going to be probably challenged on as well. But will she strike a nerve? Will she strike a nerve to the people who, as I said, are sick of the bank bailouts, don't like health care reform, think the stimulus sunk us and really didn't do anything to help as far as jobs, and take a real big fat swack at the limousine liberals and the ruling class elites? That's what she focused on when she was speaking at the Value Voters Summit in Washington, D.C. a couple of weeks ago. And if she stays to that message, who knows? When people go to the polls, whether or not some of the undecided or some of the independents won't think that these comments were crazy, they'll think, you know, she's not polished because she's not a professional politician. Coming up in just a few, we're going to do We Can Count.
Men, when you want the spark back in your love life, when you want to bring back intimacy, when you want to please the special woman in your life, use Mojo Rizin. Mojo Rizin is a safe, revolutionary herbal sexual formula for men that combines ancient Chinese school of thought and modern science to significantly support stamina, performance, and pleasure. Mojo Rizin is a proven 100% natural product that works the first time, every time. Mojo Rizin works even after consuming alcohol. Mojo Rizin will not give you unwanted unwanted side effects. Mojo Ryzen will allow you to give your partner what they deserve. Try just 3 capsules of Mojo Ryzen, and if not completely satisfied, send back the remainder for a full refund. Buy Mojo Ryzen at mojo-radio.com. That's mojo-radio.com. Or call toll-free 1-877-330-1120. That's 877-330-1120. Go big, go strong with Mojo Ryzen all night long.
To ship a vehicle safely from point A to point B, which company should you choose? Easy. Stateway Auto Transport. Why trust Patriot-owned Stateway Auto Transport? Many reasons. Stateway is not just a broker, but a fully licensed and bonded carrier with its own fleet of trucks and $1 million of cargo coverage insurance. With Stateway, your vehicle rides safely on a direct route on the same truck, and your shipment is always door-to-door with no hidden fees, and every shipment includes free online vehicle tracking. Simply put, Stateway Auto Transport is the best, most efficient, quickest, and friendliest worldwide shipper in the business. To receive a free quote from a live customer service representative, call 877-848-7474 or see us online at statewayauto.com. That's statewayauto.com or call 877-848-7474. Ask about discounts for seniors, military, and all GCN listeners. Stateway Auto Transport, your one-stop shop for worldwide vehicle transport.
Are you fed up with government of, by, and for the banksters and gangsters? Are you ready for a patriotic newspaper that pulls no punches, that tells it the way it is about the forces that have taken over and are destroying the United States from within? The Nationalist Times has been informing and educating Americans every month since 1985. The Nationalist Times features outstanding writers and columnists who promote a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning cultural Marxist Party line. If you believe it's far past time to get America back on track, you need to be reading America's best political publication. Find out why the Nationalist Times has many thousands of loyal readers. Subscribe to the Nationalist Times for the special introductory rate of just $29 for 1 year. Subscribe today by sending $29 to the Nationalist Times, 10161 Park Run Drive, Suite 150, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89145. That's $29 for 1 year to the Nationalist Times, 10161 Park Run Drive, Suite 150, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89145.
Playoffs and baseball and the fact that this is an exciting time of year. And when I think of baseball, I think of my old pal Joe Torre, the now manager, of course, of the Dodgers. The Dodgers not there this season, but Joe Torre really raising awareness on something completely different away from the baseball diamond, and that's prostate cancer, because when he got it, he started to talk a lot about getting the tests and why more people didn't get the test and why it's not a big deal. And I thought that was a stroke of brilliance, because more people started, I think more people, men, became aware of how easy it was to get tested and why didn't they go in the first place because of the things that they hear and whatever. And whenever you put a famous celebrity and marry them to something that they've had, I think, and they speak out about it and talk to groups and stuff, automatically there's an interest level that rises, especially with a guy like Torre, who was in the trenches. So anyway, so what a great thing to talk about here on America Tonight. We're excited to have Norris Baron with us, and he's got a strategy, and it's not about hope this time. He talks about how to become the CEO of your own health, and it's like the prostate cancer thing that I just mentioned, that it's something that is still a topic that's not talked about enough. And if we could just educate a few people out there to pay attention, get a little bit inspired, and go and get the checks, and then, of course, battle the disease if you have it. Norris, thanks so much for coming on the show. We appreciate your time.
My pleasure, Kate.
You know, what is let's talk about that whole thing first. It's just that I don't think men like to go to the doctors in general. Is that true?
Men don't like going to the doctor. Men don't like admitting that they have an illness. Men don't like admitting they don't feel well. So in many cases, men just duck it. And when something comes up, they'll go ahead, perhaps, maybe with a lot of nagging from somebody, but they'll go ahead and perhaps take the necessary steps to get the treatment they need.
Now, you're out there speaking. You're well-informed. You know this topic. You've written a book. Tell people why you were driven to do this, because you were diagnosed. You had cancer yourself, right?
Yeah, I have been getting the PSA test, which is the blood test that is used most commonly to determine prostate cancer, for almost 20 years. And 3 years ago, I went to my doctor, had a blood test. All of a sudden, I noticed that from 1 year over the next year, the numbers went up significantly, and that got my attention. I asked the doctor, what do you think? He said, well, it's going up. We should probably watch it for a while. And I said, well, what happens when it goes up more? He said, well, maybe we'll do a biopsy. I said, well, then why wait? And that started me thinking about the fact that I needed to become in control of that process. So I went ahead, had treatment. 2.5 years later, I really never talked about it to anybody other than my immediate family. But one day I just sat down at the computer and I started writing about it because I kept hearing of, as you mentioned in your intro, celebrities, well-known people. Merv Griffin comes to mind. Dennis Hopper, who died last year from prostate cancer. Both of these guys had it and deferred treatment because they were too busy doing other things. And that really bothered me. And I said, you know, people need to understand some of the issues. So I went ahead and started writing about it and put together a book. It's my story. It's not a medical book. It's very short. It's small. It's only about 100 pages. But it helps people get acquainted with some of the major issues and a lot of the things that they should do that they probably would never have thought of in terms of, how do I deal with this problem?
Yeah, one of the first things that comes to mind is somebody, I was talking to a doctor about this the other day, of all people to question on this very thing. But how do you know if the guy that you're going to, or the woman you're going to, the doctor, is giving you the absolute best advice for your treatment?
Well, first of all, you have to be armed with a lot of questions, and that's something that I have really focused on, is developing a series of questions so that people can go to the doctor and ask questions to be able to get the information they need. Now, when you're talking to a doctor, I find there are at least three areas that are critical that you need to cover to see whether or not the doctor's acting in your best interest. First, ask the doctor, I'm going to get another opinion, and gauge the reaction. Some doctors will say, you don't need to do that, it's not necessary. Others will absolutely encourage you to do that, and that's a good thing. Secondly, make sure that the doctor takes the time to give you all the treatment options relative to your situation. And in the case of prostate cancer, there's 6 major categories of treatment options. And thirdly, make sure that there's no bias coming from the doctor in terms of a recommendation as to what treatment you should have. Make sure you're not being steered, for example, to his specialty. If he's a surgeon, he may say surgery is the way to go. If he's a radiation oncologist, he may say radiation is the way to go. You want to know that the doctor is going to give you the best information you can get, giving you all of the aspects that you need to be able to decide.
You talked about the PSA testing, and that's part of it. That's the information process. But a lot of people don't like PSA testing. Why is it so poker red hot controversial?
You know, it's gotten very controversial, and especially in the last year. Now, if you recall, about a year ago, the American Cancer Society revised their guidelines regarding mammograms, and that created quite a big storm. 4 months later, the American Cancer Society revised their guidelines regarding prostate cancer testing. The problem is that there are issues that people need to know about screening. They need to know what are the risks of screening. They need to know what are the uncertainties, what are the benefits, what are some of the drawbacks of screening. Getting the test is one thing, but the question is, what do you do then? In many cases, screening leads to a biopsy, and in some cases, biopsies lead to false positives, which leads to treatment. And that's a problem. So there is a growing concern, and I know it may sound counterintuitive, but there's a growing concern that while screening has a place, we need to be much more careful about when we do it and who we do it on. People at high risk should be screened. people at low risk, and those are defined a number of ways, but let's say somebody is in their 70s or 80s, where the likelihood of cancer causing the death in less than 10 years is not there, screening may not be a good idea.
There you go. That's you have to know what place you fall into. You got to ask your family some questions, find out about the family background. I think that's important, too. For some reason, that doesn't happen a lot. That information doesn't get passed down. Do you find that?
Well, absolutely. And that's really what I'm trying to do is I'm spending my time. I'm a public speaker. I'm an author by profession, so that's what I do. But I'm spending my time talking to people, trying to educate men, trying to educate employees in the workplace about some of these issues, especially as we go into a new healthcare legislation and the impact of all of that. People need to know what are their rights, what are the things that they need to know, what are the questions they need to ask, what don't they know. We need to become much more aggressive and much more informed and much more active in our medical care and our medical treatment, more so than ever before, because there are so many issues that are facing us. If it isn't economic, it's insurance. If it isn't insurance, it's treatment options. If it isn't treatment options, it's something else. So my effort is to try and help people become the CEO of their treatment care and their treatment team. That's what's really important.
Absolutely. Let's leave it with this. What are some of the symptoms to look for signs of, ooh, I've waited too long, I need to go get this test? What are some things that you might notice?
People, men especially, need to know their body. Women know their body, I think, to a large extent. Men need to know their body. Any change in normal body functions, whether it be pain or discomfort during normal bodily functions, during normal activity, any urges to go, any short periods in between having to go to the bathroom, any of those kinds of things would be a symptom that probably should get some attention.
All right, very good. Prostate cancer. Hope is not a strategy, so well said. Tips from a Survivor, that's the name of the book. Norris, good luck. I hope you spread the message all over the place. And a terrific book. I'm glad you're out there speaking about it.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, so he says some excellent things. If you listen to what Norris was saying, pay attention. Know your body. Pay attention to that. And just ask some questions from your family. I mean, what does it hurt? Go to the doctor. Get these tests. Get these screenings. You don't want to be that person who coulda, woulda, shoulda, and then it's just too late. Darn, you didn't like going to the doctors, and then they discovered something, and if you had just gone earlier, you could have licked it. You could have survived. You could have become a survivor. Because I don't know about all of you, but do you really want your time to expire before it has to? I mean, let's face it. Let's be honest about that. One more ball game, a few more beers with the crew, hanging out with the family. It's worth it, my friends. Odds and Ends coming up next.